Today Shi'ez Masecht Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Samach Dalad. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Samach Gimel on the Be'ez. Two lines from the bottom. Gufa Merav, we learned in our previous shir, Shtar Haba Hu Ve'edav Lamachak. We have a shtar, both the writing of the shtar, the words of the shtar, and the edom of the shtar, are written on an erased piece of paper. Kosher, the shtar is kosher. Vim Toimer asked the Gemara, how can we say that such a shtar should be kosher? Meichik, why should we not be concerned that the person who has the shtar erased all of the wording of the shtar, V'chayzik, Meichik, he first erased the piece of paper, and then he wrote whatever he wrote, signed Edom, and now he's going to erase the wording of the shtar, leave the Edom as is, but the top of the shtar will be new wording that he now put in that will all be obviously false. And person who sees this shtar will see that the shtar was written on erased piece of paper. They will see that the Edom are signed on an erased piece of paper, and they won't see any problem with it because we just started the shir that a shtar that's written on an erased piece of paper is fine. Answers the Gemara, Ein Adomer, one cannot compare the situation of something that's Nimchak Pamacha, something that was erased once, Nimchak Shtepam, which was erased twice. Because every time they wrote on parchment, and every time they wrote, a little more of the parchment got scraped off. And since a little more of the parchment got scraped off every time, you could tell if it was erased. And therefore, it'll be noticeable the difference between the top part, which was erased twice, and the bottom part, which was only erased once, and that's how the person will be caught. Ask the Gemara, but why is that not still a problem? The Leichish, why should we not be concerned that what somebody is going to do is before he has Edom sign on the shtar, Shadi Diyuksa, he'll put ink on the place where the Edom are supposed to sign. Shadi Diyuksa Amokim Edom Ikara, he'll put ink on the place where the Edom is supposed to sign, and then machaklei, and then he'll erase that ink. So what turns out is the top part of this piece of paper is not erased at all. The place where the Edom are signed was erased once. Then he'll write on everything on this piece of paper and erase it. And now the top part will have been erased only once. The place where the Edom are erased will be a place that was erased twice. And he'll write, then he'll have the Edom sign there. And then he'll have the top part of the shtar erased and put there whatever he wants. And the Edom will not be able to tell there's a difference between the place where they're signing and the top. So, of course, all the Rishonim ask. We just learned a moment ago, you could tell the difference between a place that was erased once and a place that's erased twice. So, Rishonim answer, when you have writing on a piece of paper that was erased once versus on a piece of paper that was erased twice is something that's noticeable. But here we're speaking about it. Completely empty piece of paper. Just one part of the paper was erased once, and one part of the paper was erased twice. There, since it's completely empty, that won't be noticeable. That's the teretz that that Tosfos gives. Rabbeinu Gershom says that when do we have to be concerned is when we have the writing after the Edom. When the writing and then we have the Edom. But here, we don't have the concern. When we bring the shtar to the Edom, when we bring this here, we're bringing an empty piece of paper. And since we're bringing an empty piece of paper, it's hard to make any distinction. So what's going to happen is that you have the spot on which the Edom are signed. It's a spot that was erased twice. And now after this person played around with the shtar, the place where the shtar is written is also a place that was erased twice. The chichad machik lehai, when he erases the top part of the shtar, and the part where the Edom was signed was also already erased, havli idi v'idi, both places of the shtar are places that were nimchak shtei pamim. And what we said earlier in the shir, that when it's erased twice, when one part is erased once and one part is erased twice, it's something that we're going to catch. Here we won't be able to catch anything because everything was erased twice. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Kesav Rav's opinion is that Ein Eidim Choysim Al Machak, Eidim don't sign an erased piece of paper, Amkem Nechak Bifneim. If they are going to be asked to sign on something that was an erased piece of paper, they're going to be careful to see that the erasure took place in front of them. And if they're going to see that, in other words, what really the Gemara is saying is that Edom are very careful whenever we're dealing with an erased piece of paper. And since Edom are very careful when we deal with an erased piece of paper, they're going to watch and see if the place that they're signing looks like the place where the shtar was written. Meisvei, so that's why we were up to now. As we began the shir saying that a shtar could be written on an erased piece of paper, the concerns that were indicated are dealt with. Meisvei says, the Gemara, the Brisa says, Hu alanar, if the shtar was written on a piece of paper that wasn't erased, ve'edav alamachak, and the edim are signed on a part that was erased, kosher, that's going to be considered a kosher shtar. But ask the Gemara, according to what we're learning now, leichish, why should we not be concerned? The malachik lay, maybe the person's going to erase the entire part of the shtar, the entire top part of the shtar, and the customer to buy and write there whatever he feels like he wants to write. And the Edom was signed on a spot, like we said, wasn't erased. The shtar now is also written on an erased piece of paper. And once we have the shtar and the Edom both on an erased piece of paper, that should be a perfectly good shtar, according to Rav, where actually, as we just understood, it was very much manipulated. Answers the Gemara that whenever Edom sign a shtar that there's any part that's erased, kasvi hachi, what they write, anachnu sadni chasam la'amaka, we the Edom sign on a part of the piece of paper that was erased. However, the shtara, the rest of the shtar was written on a regular piece of paper. And therefore, if somebody will see the shtar and they'll see that the shtar is not that way, because as we just explained, there's a concern that maybe the part that's on top was written when the Edom sign was a regular piece of paper, and then the person played around and erased the top part, and therefore now he wrote on top of the erasure. It'll be noticeable the declaration that the Edom make will expose what happened here. Ask the Gemara. So now we're learning that every time a shtar is written and there's any part of that piece of paper that's erased, the Edom put in a declaration exactly what happened. Ask the Gemara, the Ksiv Hecha, exactly where on the piece of paper does this declaration appear? Imel Sachis, if it's going to be below their signature. So ask the Gemara, so the person will just go and Geisle, he'll cut out that part under the signatures of the Edom, they'll cut out that declaration. If, on the other hand, Eloi, if it's written above their signatures, Machiklei, just like he's writing out, just like he's erasing the entire shtar, he's going to erase that declaration, and nobody will ever pay attention to what happened here. Answers the Gemara, what you do is, the kasvi ben sada l'sada. This declaration is written between the two signatures of the Edom. And since it's there between the two signatures, if you're going to tamper over there, then the whole shtar will be, it'll be noticeable that the signatures were tampered, and of course you will have a shtar without Edom. There's a very big question that the Rishonim ask. So they're saying that we have two Edom on the shtar, and the two Edom, and we have to have a declaration in the shtar exactly if it was written, signed, whatever, on a piece of paper that was erased. So ask the Rishonim, if, as the Gemara just said, that declaration is written between the two signatures, so it turns out that the declaration was only signed by one of the Edom. Now, of course, the first halakha that we always know is that in order for a declaration to be a valid declaration in a shtar, you have to have two Edom sign on a declaration. So the Meiri indeed says, what happens is that the first aid writes after his signature these words, Widi Edom, and right next to that he writes this declaration, and then the second aid also writes that on the same line as his signature. So in other words, both Edom made a declaration. But that's not the Pashup Shad in the Gemara. The Pashup Shad in the Gemara is that we have the one declaration in between the two signatures. And the reason most Rishonim say it's acceptable is because this is just a concern, an unlikely concern. So when the halacha says that we have to have Edom, so there the halachas two Edom are required and with all the halachas of two Edom. Here we're speaking about something which is just a concern of manipulation of somebody playing around. For that one aid is kosher, because as they explain throughout halacha, we find that an aid echad has namanus. And since an aid echad has namanus, so for this we're going to rely on aid echad. Especially, as I saw, the Devar Chaim explains in the Tshuvas. When do we need two Edom? When we want to change a status quo. There's a woman who till now was single and we want to declare her an Eishes Ish. We want to say that somebody owes somebody money. Here we have no reis in front of us. We have nothing to make us believe that something wrong happened. And for that, one aid, the signature of one aid under the declaration is sufficient. What happens when we don't have this kind of declaration and we have to be concerned if the shtar was played with? So I saw machlokes in the poskim. And some poskim are of the opinion that from our Gemara it's clear that this shtar is completely an invalid shtar. Other poskim say that we're going to have to be strict with the shtar, as we often speak about protecting lakuchas. With such a shtar where we have these concerns, we wouldn't be able to collect from lakuchas. But we would not be able to completely invalidate such a shtar on an outside chashash. And I was thinking that question may be very much connected to the Machlokes Rishonim that we just quoted. According to the Rishonim that are looking for two full-fledged Edom, they're looking for two full-fledged Edom because the concern is a real concern and it completely invalidates the shtar. The other Paiskim that say that one aid declaration is sufficient will hold because the shtar is not completely invalidated because of an outside concern. Ask the Gemara, Yochi, if that's what the halacha requires, this declaration, ask the Gemara, Amos Sefer, let's continue learning that Braisa, who, Alam Chak, if the shtar was written on an erased piece of paper, Vedal al Nayor, and the Edom were written on a non-erased piece of paper, Possel. Because we could write the shtar, or again, the person could erase the entire shtar, and write whatever he wants, and it'll be an entire shtar on a erased piece of paper. But why should we say it's possible? Hachanami, why haven't we just learned that there's a new declaration? Nichtav Hachi,
And that's how we could prevent any manipulation. Says the Gemara, Hashtanami, my Amrit, what are you going to say? What are you going to say that the reason this declaration won't help us? Because the top part will be erased twice and the bottom part will not? Ha'amrit, but we learned at the beginning of our shir that that's something we could catch. Because ain't a doyman nimchak pa'machas nimchak shtei pa'mim. Answers the Gemara, Hani mili, when is that? Hech the sima sada machkop, where the edim are signed on a piece of paper that was signed once, and the shtar was written on a piece of paper that was written, erased twice. As we said, writing on something that was erased twice is not the same as writing on something that was written once. Hech the sima sada machkop. But in a place where the Einim are not signed on a piece that was erased, just on a regular piece of paper, Loyida, it won't be discernible. You know, when we compare something that was erased once to something to erase twice, there we have to be concerned. There we could catch it. But to be able to tell between something that was erased twice and something that was erased once, that not erased at all. That's not something that we could easily tell that was written twice. And therefore, the halach is, we have to be concerned. So that's why the Gemara says, in such a case where the shtar is on an erased piece of paper and the edim are on a not erased piece of paper, it'll be difficult to tell if it was erased once or twice. And what really happened here? So ask the Gemara, what we don't know if it was raised once or it was raised twice. So let's say Megilta Achrita, why don't we just bring another piece of paper for Limchik and erase once? And now we'll see, we'll compare these two pieces of paper and we'll be able to tell if they both look the same, that means they were both only erased once. If this looks different than that, we'll be able to tell that this was erased twice and this was erased once. Answers the Gemara, Loidami Machadahai Megilta, Lamachadahai Megilta. No two pieces of paper are the same. And even if one piece of paper was erased only once, and the other piece of paper was erased twice, that isn't something that we're going to always be able to catch because of the difference of the types of paper. Ask the Gemara, let's check the signatures of the Edom, so we'll know that this shtar was properly signed. Beis Din will certify the signature, and then we could erase the signatures, write other words on that spot, and see if the two parts of the shtar look the same. Validmi. Answers the Gemara, it's not all taking place in the same time. The shtar was written a while ago. This procedure that we're doing of erasing the Adam's names after identifying without any question that these are their signatures was all done today. To which the Gemara says, something that was written, that was erased today, and something that was written, erased previously, it doesn't look the same, even though they were erased the same amount of times. But ask the Gemara, why don't we just wait? And once we wait, the two pieces of paper could be connected. We're concerned that Bezdin is going to make a mistake. And as the Rashbam and the Ritva explain, the Gemara does not mean to say that we're concerned that Beis Din is going to make a mistake in the halacha. We learned earlier that we're not concerned that Beis Din make the mistake. The mistake that we're concerned here is, you really have to be an expert to be able to tell if the two pieces of paper are identical. This was only erased once, this was erased twice. When do we say that we're not concerned for a mistake that a Beis Din makes? That's in the case of a Dvar Halacha. Beis Din knows the Halacha. But here, it's something that is being an expert in tampering of documents, of erasing documents. Not everybody's enough of an expert. Another explanation that I sort of was showing to give, that this is so unlikely to happen. This usually doesn't happen. So Beis Din is not that sensitive to making sure that it was really something to be worried about. Another pshat that the Sma suggests that Besdin, again, very much connected to what we just said a moment ago, this happens so infrequently, that Besdin may forget to go through this part of the required procedure when they certify a shtar, because it doesn't happen so frequently, and it did happen over here. So we spoke in the Mishnah about a get poshut, where everything is written on a flat piece of paper, Makusher, where the shtar was written and there are folds. We spoke about where the signatures appear. And Rav Chanina discussed the Makusher that you wrote the Edom inside, because it becomes a get, could be kosher, because you could always make a get Makusher and a get pushed by opening up the folds. And the Gemara explains that the opinion of Tanna Kamma, Heshev Rebbe Ladiv Rebbe Chanina Magalil, Rebbe said, why do I hold it's not good? The dating of the two different types of shtaris, a get poshut and a get mekusher, were not done the same way. Poshut, malach shana achas, in those days, out of respect to the local government, they would date according to the years of the king. How many years was the king of this government? So if he's a king for 1 year, they write manim loy. They write shana, that he was a king for 1 year. Shtayim, manim loy shtayim. By a kusher, malach shana. But when you have a get mekusher, even though the king is only king for 1 year, manim loy shtayim, they write it's the second year. Shtayim, manim loy shalosh. And if he's a king for 2 years, they write he's king already 3 years. And the Gemara is going to explain why they did that sometimes, and why they do that by Gut Mekusher. So says the Gemara, now that we learn that the dating system, the way they write dates on a Get Mekusher and a Get Poshut, are very much differently. So what we need to be concerned is as follows. Zim the Yosemine Zay, the Mekusher. Somebody's going to borrow money with a Shtar Mekusher, and they're going to write in it the date. They're going to write the second year, because a get mekusher is written not with the current year, but with the next year. And now what happens is, the loiva has money, the loiva has access to money to pay off. Or parlay, so he goes to the malva to pay off his loan. Vamalay, and the loiva says to the malva, havli shtaroi, give me my shtar. Because that's the system. When you pay back your loan, when you pay back the money you own, the malva gives you back that document. Vamalay, to which the malva says, irchusli, I lost the shtar. But you know what I'll do for you? Kosle tavra. I'll write a receipt for you. V'chimati zimne, what now the malva will do, he'll open up the get mekusher, mashvle poshet, and the dating system of a get mekusher, now we're learning, and the dating system of get poshet are different. The get poshet, you write with this year's, with the amount of years the king is currently king. A get mekusher, they write with the next year. Get mekusher is written that he was king if 1 year for 2 years. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is that they did this, many places they would date shtaris that way, to show respect to the king, that even though he's only king 1 year, we're treating him like he was a king for 2 years. He's king for 2 years. We're treating him like it was 3 years. It's obviously much more complicated to remember and to put that in. And we go back to the beginning of the Perek, where at the beginning of the Perek we learned that the reason a Get Mekusher is written as a Get Mekusher is to slow things down. So when you have a more complicated dating process, it's also going to be more complicated and more time-consuming to make the shtar. But now we have a new concern. We started off with a shtar mekusher, so it was really year one of the king, and they wrote year two. Now, the malva got paid back, didn't give back the shtar with this excuse that he lost the shtar, gave a receipt, and now he's going to take that shtar mekusher and mashvle poshet, make it to a shtar poshet. A shtar poshet, the dating, is the dating of the current year. Vamle hashta yasminei. And now, he's going to say, you borrowed from me this year, because it's a shtar poshet. It says year two. This is year two. But it really happened in year one. But since it started off as a get mekusher, it's set in year two. But we're not going to realize it's a get poshet.
there was a get mekosher, because now it's a get poshut. Because of this concern, Tanakama didn't allow us to turn a mekosher into a poshut, because this could be abused. And as the Rishonim explained, the loiva could be abused, and the kuchas could be abused all through this system. So, why is Reb Chanina not concerned about this? Answers the Gemara, Kesavar and Kaisvin Shaver. He holds that we don't write a receipt. What does that mean? That if the loiva comes to the malva and says, I'm ready to pay you, and the malva says, I lost your document, I can't give you back the document, I'll give you a receipt, the loiva has a right to say to the malva, without the document being given back to me, I'm not paying you back. He's willing to write a receipt. Writing a receipt, says the loiva, is for me a very big disadvantage. Because now what I'm going to have to do is hold on to that document forever. That shoiva forever. Because maybe the malva really has the shtar and is going to use it against me. And the only way I'm able to protect myself is by holding on to the shoiver, which he finds extremely difficult to have to spend the rest of his life protecting himself with that, holding on to the shoiver. And because of that, they didn't write shoiver, and therefore the entire scenario that was just described need not be worried about. But as the Gemara, that means the Rebbe, based on this whole Gemara, was very familiar with how Shtar Mekusha was written. As the Gemara, Mi Baki Rebbe Mekusha, was Rebbe so familiar with the way Mekusha was written? As the Gemara, who Mekusha does to come to Rebbe? There was a Shtar Mekusha that came to Rebbe. Vamer Rebbe, when he saw the date, as we just finished explaining, the dating is a year later, he said that something wrong here. Shtar Mekusha, it was written with the wrong date. And it says, Omele Zunan Le Rebbe. So Zunan said to Rebbe, nothing to be concerned about. This is the way that this nation does. Shoina, as we said, Malach Shoina, if the king is only a king for a year, Manon Le Shtayim, they count it already as year two. Shtayim, if the king is a king for 2 years, Manon Le Shalish, they count him as already as year three. So we see the Rebbe didn't know anything about Ket Mekusher. How does Rebbe explain the opinion of Tanna Kamma and our Mishnah? And says the Gemara, boss of the Shama Mezunan, after Zunan explained to him how it works and the dating systems of the different shtaris, so now Rebbe was well aware of what happened. Once Rebbe was well aware, he was able to explain our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, who started Avakosabe? There was a shtar that was written that somebody borrowed money from somebody else. B'shnas Ploini Arkin. It says Arkin, but it doesn't say anything more than the word Arkin. What does that mean? So we now need to see what is the date of the shtar, because as we have often learned, the date of a shtar is very important. Amar Chanina, to which Chanina says, Yibadik Emesai Amet Arkin B'Kanasei. We look what year did the king become king, and that's what Arkin means. But as the Gemara Dilma, the word Arkin should not be understood the year that he became king, but rather it should be understood the Aruch Malchusei, that he became king for many years, lengthy years. He's been a king for a long time. Answers the Gemara. Amar Avoshe, Kachman Hagash Shalomazu. This is the way they used to date their stars. Shana Rishonah, the first year, currently Arkin. Shnia, currently Digun. So if it says Arkin, we know it was year one. Ask the Gemara. But why should we not be concerned with Dima Dibra Abrua? Maybe the king was king, and then he was deposed. Vadak Mua, and then they put him back. And that's why they're writing the word Arkin, even though it's not year one. Answers the Gemara, if we have such a situation where the king was deposed and then reestablished, how Arkin Digun currently? They write that this is in the second go-around. And if it doesn't say it, we know Arkin means the first year. Tanar Abon, Hareini Nazir. If somebody takes upon himself to be a Nazir, but he didn't say how many terms of Naziris he took upon himself. We know Stam Naziris is Shloishim Yoim. But how many terms? So Sumchas Oima, Hina, if he wrote the word Hina, and he took upon one term, 30 days. Digon means Shtayim, two terms. Trigon, he means shalosh, three terms. Tatrigan means arbon, and pentagon means four. So, as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, that these are the words that were used, these were the words that were used in their time, the Rashbam explains it, and that's why we could use these Greek words to understand what he meant halachically. So the Pasha Pasha in the Gemara is that a person could accept upon himself Naziris in any language. But the Rishonim ask, of course a person could, it's no different than any other nether. And just like a nether, a person could take upon himself a nether in any language, why should Naziris not be any different? So the Ramban says, there's a very big chiddush, that in other languages, if you take upon yourself to be a Nazir, even if you don't understand the words that you're saying, if you don't understand the words you're saying, it will not be considered a proper Naziris. However, these words that we just learned in the Gemara were established as part of the way a person becomes a Nazir. And because they were established as the way a person becomes a Nazir, even if the person didn't understand what he was saying, he would still be considered a Nazir. That others explain that if he understands the words, he understands what he wants to do, but he doesn't understand the words that he's using, as long as he knows what he meant to say, and somebody else said will say these words, it'll be adequate. But if he doesn't understand the words, so says the Ritva, so a very big machlokes. According to Ramban, if you use these words, even if you don't understand them, you're going to be a Nazir. That's the Chiddush of this Gemara. The Ritva says that you can't become a Nazir if you don't even understand what you're saying. Midrather explains the Ritva, if you knew what you wanted to say, even though you didn't know the meaning of these words, but you know you want to be whatever term you want to be, that's enough to be a Nazir. Because these words, says the Rosh, were such common words that using them will make you a Nazir under any circumstances. Tana Rabbanan, the Torah we have, the Parsha of Negoyim, Nigei Batim, different signs on the home that they became a home has a Nega. So says the Gemara Beis Ogel, if you have a circular house, Digun, a house with only two corners, Trigun, a house with three corners, Pentagon, a house with five corners, Eina Tamam Negoyim, they're not susceptible to Tumas Negoyim, only if it's Tatragon, where it has four corners, is Metamav in the Goyim, it's subject to Tumas the Goyim. Ask the Gemara Menonimili, how do we notice Halacha? Says the Gemara, the Pasuk in the Parashas Negoyim says, V'hine ha-nega b'kiris ha-bayis, she-kerurus yirakris adam doimus, V'hine ha-pasuk ha-nega b'kiris ha-bayis. L'mala oim ha-kir, kirois. The Pasuk could have used the first time the word kir, wall, but the Torah used the word kirois, which means two walls, shtayim. Lamata Omer, again, the Torah could have used the word kir and instead used the word kirois, which again means two walls, shtayim. So we have two plus two, can arba. From here we learn that only a house that has four walls, four corners, is subject to Tumas Negoyim. Says Maruk Mekusha does come to Rebbe, there was a get Mekusha that came to Rebbe. Omer, Rebbe, and Rebbe said, Ein Zman Bezeh, there's no Zman. Omer Rebbe Shimba Rebbe, Le Rebbe Shema, Ben Kishor of Muvla. Maybe the Zman, maybe the date, is in between the folds. Palya, they opened up the folds. For Chazin, they saw the date. Chod Chazi by Rebbe Bebishis. Rebbe was upset at his son. He said that he thought that Rebbe, his son, Reb Shimon, had written this Get Mekusher. Amalei, so Reb Shimon wanted to defend himself to his father. It's a Lava Naksafte. I wasn't the one that wrote this document. Rabbi Yehuda Chachi Kasvei. Rabbi Yehuda Chachi wrote this document. Amalei, Kalach M'lashon Harazeh. You shouldn't have said this, because I hold that a Get Mekusha should not be written. And therefore, in my opinion, this Get shouldn't have been written. So you should have, if you want to defend yourself, all you should have said, Lo Ani Ksavtev, I didn't write it. You shouldn't have told us that somebody else, the name of the person who did it. Says the Gemara another story. Zimnam Yosef Kamei, Rav Shimon was sitting in front of his father Rebbe, the Kapasik Sedra, and he was finishing one of the Sifrei Tehillim. Amar Rebbe Kamei Meyusha Kavzeh, and he was saying it out of a handwritten Tehillim, And Rebbe complimented this beautiful Tehillim that was written. Amma, and Rav Shimon said, Lava naksafte. I wasn't I that wrote it. Yehuda chayit kasvei. Amma klach melashon haruza. It was lashon haru, you shouldn't have said it. So ask the Gemara, Bishlam ahasam, in the previous case, ikka lashon haru. We understand what is lashon haru. Because Rebbe opposes writing get mekusher. So by saying that Yehuda chayit wrote that, he's saying something that's wrong. Elocha my lashon haru. What's the lashon haru? Answers the Gemara Mishum Derav Dimi. Because the Rav Dimi taught us, the Shemitani Rav Dimi, Achva, the Rav Safra, Lo'elam Yisapa Adam, B'Tavasa Shechaveri, don't say good about other people, Shemitach Tavasa Baladei Rasai, if you're going to say good, you may come to say bad. So of course, all the Rishonim asked the question, that Chazal, Shas, Pirkei Avos are replete with situations where Chazal praise people. So why over here are we saying that praising people is not good? So the Rashbam's explanation is, you're allowed to say praise. You shouldn't say too much. Because if you're going to say too much, you may come to say bad. The Seder Mishpah says that when we're speaking about Gashmias, then we shouldn't praise a person. All the places that we're praising people is in a place where we're speaking about things that they did in Ruchnius and learning and mitzvahs. And therefore, that's what could be praised, not other things like writing how he wrote. Another pshat, it matters who you're saying it in front of. If you're saying praise in front of people who like this person, then you're allowed to say praise. But if you're saying praise in front of people who don't like him, that's going to cause them to say something bad. And that's why Yad Ramah says, it becomes, even if you don't know if the people you're saying in front of like him or dislike him, you always need to be concerned that they may be dislike him. The others say that it depends what kind of praise you're giving. Their praise that you give, which is so non-questionable, only praise, that can't come to anything but the best, that you're allowed to say. But in this case, that when he says that he wrote a beautiful Tehillim, it seems to indicate, well, this Tehillim that he wrote is beautiful, but other things that he wrote are not necessarily so beautiful. And therefore, because of that, you shouldn't say it. I saw a similar pshat. We know that Rebbe had a problem with Rabbi Yehuda Chaita, because Rabbi Yehuda Chaita wrote Get Mekusher, wrote these folded shtaris that he didn't like. When we're going to speak about the Rabbi Yehuda Chaita's abilities as a soifer, what's going to happen is it's going to cause Rebbe to remember, oh, he's the person that writes Get Mekushers, and I don't like Get Mekushers. So if you're going to say a compliment of somebody, that you think that could bring that person to remember something not positive about that person, you're better off not saying it. Again, others say it matters who you're saying it about. If you're speaking about a tzaddik, a person who everybody considers a tzaddik, there it's much easier to say. Because when we're dealing with a tzaddik, people aren't quick to say bad things about a tzaddik. But when you're saying it about a person who is not in everybody's eyes a tzaddik, some people don't look at this person as a tzaddik, then you have to be careful because there's some things to say about him that are not so great. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that when you have a person that has certain milus, but he also has certain issues. So that person, when you're going to say good things about him, it's going to cause people to remember the not bad things, the not good things about him. And since they're going to remember the not positive things about him, then it's better not to say anything because it could only come back to haunt him. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Shalosh Avarius Ein Adam Nitzel Amakol Yoyim. There are three avarice that, and just to conclude this discussion, the Meiri, because of all this discussion that we just had, how careful we have to be when we speak good, because the good could bring the bad, says, V'tzorach lizor binyanim elu harbe, one has to be very careful. One can easily make a mistake. At k'matchein adam nimomem. Meiri says, when you say nice things about people, it's almost impossible that you won't end up making a mistake and saying something, and make a mistake and end up saying something that you didn't want to say. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rav Shalosh Averis, An Adam Nitzmahem. There's three Averis that nobody could avoid. B'chol Yoyim. Here Avera, having immoral thoughts. Ian Tfilip. Big Machloikas here in the Gemara. What is Ian Tfilip? Some say that a person, when he finishes davening, says to Hashem, well, I davened so well, for sure you're going to have to accept my Tfilip. Others say that Ian Tfilim means that a person davens without kavana, for Lashon Hara and Lashon Hara. So ask the Gemara, Lashon Hara sakadatach. Lashon Hara is something that everybody says every day. Elavak Lashon Hara. When it's not direct Lashon Hara, but indirect Lashon Hara. The Gemara Masechet Erefin asks that somebody says there's always fire in that house. When you say that, it can have a very positive meaning. They're always hosting guests. It could also mean that they're always partying. That's not Lashon Hara, that's Avak Lashon Hara. Anu Yudam Rav, Roiv Gezel, most people violate Gezel. Miet Barayis, fewer people do a various of immorality. V'hakob Lashon Hara. Again, ask the Gemara. Lashon Hara, Sakadatach, is it fair to say that everybody says Lashon Hara? But again, says the Gemara, what's meant here is Bavak Lashon Hara. And now that's why I saw the Mefarshim explain why the Gemara says, Ayisap Adam B'Shvach L'Shal Adam B'Shtoich Pach Po L'Dei Genusa. Because since we have most people do these Averis, explains the Gemara, so since most people do these Averis, you're always going to have something that somebody does with an Avera. And there's always something not nice that you'll be able to say not nice about somebody. And because of that, the Gemara is saying, don't speak good about him because there's something going to be bad you could say about him. I saw that the Lekutei Bas Lekutei says, what does the Gemara mean, Ein Adam Nitzel Mehem? So it explains what the Gemara means to say, what Ein Adam Nitzel Mehem means, that most Averis, when a person does an Avera, the way the person does an Avera is he actively does an Avera. Here, it's a person does an Avera, B'Shev Al Taisa. And that's why it says Ein Adam Nitzel Behem, just not doing anything, and these Averis could jump on you. I saw that the Mefarshim explained that just like Chazal, here we're learning that people have to be worried about a Arayis, and because they have to be worried about a Arayis, that we have different Gezeris that were made around a Arayis. Yichud, we have to always be, we should never be alone with another woman. So say the Mefarshim, that should be the way we behave when it comes to everything. We should always make a darim. Just like we make a darim around the Arayis, so too should we make a darim around every Avera. I saw that Rav Chaskel Abramsky used to say that after Yom Kippur, many people, they say it in Yiddish, says, Alles git ois gebeten. What does it mean that we ask that all the tefillahs should be in the skabel? So he says, our Gemara just taught us that most people don't have the proper kavanah by davening. So if you don't have the proper kavanah by davening, how do we expect those tefillahs to be answered? We have a very big challenge how those tefillahs should be answered. So after we finish davening on Yom Kippur, we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yiratzen, Hashem, you help us, that all the tefillahs that we said on Yom Kippur should be considered as if we said them with Kavana. So even if there were tefillahs that were said without Kavana, they should be considered as if they were said with Kavana, and then because we are concerned that we don't always have the ability to daven the Kavana, but we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his great Rachmim to count it
as if he davened all our tefillahs properly with the proper kavanah.